Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 89 of the Weekly Wind Down. We were supposed to have Shannon on with us tonight, the therapist that specializes in anxiety and OCD. However, she came down with the flu, so she will be joining us in April. But we have Jean Copeland back with us. So, you know, sorry that Shannon doesn't feel good, but we have Jean back. And Stacy, the political princess, is doing a show. She choreographs a show, so that's where she is tonight. We didn't kick her off or get rid of her. Welcome. I'm Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
And I'm Jean Copeland, the feisty feminist.
I love it. It totally works. Okay, before we get into the week, I am drinking an oldie but a goodie. I'm drinking a Ménage à Trois California Red Blend 2017. It's one of my favorites, even though I'm sure I've drank it on here more than once. But it was in my fridge, and so that's what I'm drinking tonight.
I feel like that's like in your top, like right next to Apothic. That's your thing.
It is. It's in my top five of like affordable good wines that I will go to for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am drinking Woodwork. It's a California Cab, 2016, and I'm drinking it because somebody left it in my fridge when we had a party. I have no idea what it costs or where it came from, but it's super good. I really like it.
So thanks.
People come and leave wine in my fridge.
Ryan, everyone just drinks my wine. No one leaves me any.
I was pleasantly surprised when I saw it in there.
That's like finding 20 bucks in your pocket.
Totally. I'm drinking 90 plus Big Red Blend made in Lodi, California, 2017. And I bought this last minute after Jackie texted me because it was at the liquor store next to where I was getting my hair cut today. And it was on sale. And when I saw Big Red Blend, it was a match made in heaven.
Nice.
We were just wine tasting in Lodi 2 weeks ago.
Stuck in Lodi again. No Creedence fans or what?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, being stuck in Lodi in 2019 is better than probably it was back in 1960.
Right.
Because they have wineries now.
Maybe Creedence is talking about Lodi, New Jersey, too.
Mm.
So there's that.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, right. Lodi, California wasn't exactly a tourist location up until like 3 years ago. So, all right. Ugh. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about the Cohen hearings.
Obviously.
And obviously, Stacey's going to look at us just blinking because she doesn't like this kind of stuff. So, so look, here's the thing. We don't need to rehash everything that went down because everybody's doing that. I want to talk about one. If you go on the Fox News website, the headlines just read Cohen spent the day lying to Congress about Trump. So that's literally what it says, like word for word what it says. So I wanted to take the time we talk about the Cohen hearings to kind of address why people find him believable or not, and whether or not we should believe him, because everybody knows the things that he said. There's going to be more investigations opened up. He implicated Trump in tax fraud, which I have a feeling Trump's going to go down the same way the mob bosses do on tax evasion. Al Capone went down for tax evasion. Like, he's not going to go down for collusion or, you know, Russian interference in election. It's going to be something like tax fraud. Here's why I find it super annoying that the right is just sticking to this place instead of actually listening to what Cohen had to say. And do I think Cohen's necessarily a trustworthy person? No, I don't. Like, I wouldn't let him watch my dogs. I'm not saying that, like, I want to hang out with the dude. I think he's a sleaze bag. But in this set of circumstances, he would have gotten himself in much more trouble had he gone in there lied than going in there and telling the truth. He's tied to a bunch of different investigations. One of the reasons he's going to jail for 3 years is literally lying to Congress. So why would he go back into Congress and lie to them again and get his sentence extended. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, you're mad because he went in, defended Trump, got caught lying because he was defending Trump. Now he comes back in and says what really happened, and people are like, he's just not believable. Well, you know what? Mob bosses don't go to jail unless someone flips. Like, right. The whole reason we have RICO investigations is because a sleaze bag, a criminal, decides, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. Is he saving his own ass? You're damn right he is. Like, this isn't anything that's even, you can't even argue that. Of course he is. If he could have gotten away with everything and never rolled on Trump, never said anything about Trump.
Hey, there's safety vest.
Kai just walked in and we were just joking before I went live about how he's always in a reflective vest. He's so cute. Of what, your vest? I'm good.
Yeah.
So, if he just has no reason to lie at this point. This is how we conduct RICO investigations. This is why we have the witness protection program. Like, these are all, this isn't like, the Republicans are acting like, well, we've just never done anything like this before. Go take several fucking seats. This is what we do in the criminal justice system. Like, and right. I don't appreciate the whole, if you want to argue whether or not you think Trump is complicit in these crimes, I'm willing to hear that argument. What I won't tolerate hearing is just completely putting up the shield and putting your fingers in your ears and going, nah, 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 because you don't want to hear it. That is what's pissing me off about this whole thing.
Can I just remind people that John Gotti went to jail because Sammy the Bull Gravano flipped on him?
Yep.
Donald Trump does not hang out with honorable, honest people with integrity. Because if he did, they would not collude with him on all of his fraudulent stuff. So we have to believe Michael Cohen to the extent that logic tells us to.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if he goes and lies to Congress again, he's going to dig himself even deeper into the sewer than he's already put himself in. He was subpoenaed to testify in front of Congress, and if he lies, he's going to dig himself way deeper than he's already in, and he's in deep as it is.
So why do you think there's this complete disassociation from reality when it, like, even this, someone sitting there in front of them saying, no guys, I was in the room. he's fucking lying to you. I used to be you. I'm not you anymore. And I'm telling you why. And I'm not talking about the congressman. I don't give a shit about the ones who are trying to get reelected and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about the people in our everyday lives who are still clinging like a cat just tossed in a bathtub to this idea that Trump is complete. How can you possibly think he's still completely innocent of everything? How is that possible?
It's brainwashing.
Yeah, it's cult-like brainwashing. How did Jim Jones get all those people to fly over to Guyana, Africa, and leave their families and
commit suicide?
Of all logic and reason, and then ultimately commit suicide. It's a level of brainwashing that we as logical thinking people don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have this, what you think is this totally credible news station telling you, don't believe the other news stations. What they're telling you is fake because they don't want you to like Trump. And we're telling you what's real. And that's all you watch 24/7. Yeah, it's brainwashing.
But you would think at some level they would want to know, because, I mean, in all reality, the president himself, like, does the president affect, you know, policy decisions? For sure. Does the president have an effect on minorities? Of course he does. Does he have an effect on the LGBTQ community? Of course he does. But he doesn't actually impact, like, middle of the road, average white dude who's working at a factory, unless he's closing one of them down or breaking one of his promises. So I don't understand why they're so married to the idea that he's the second coming of Jesus. I just don't get it. Like, and Trump goes on Twitter and he's like, oh, Cohen was a terrible lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Was he so bad that you kept him on for a fucking decade? Like, if Cohen had worked for him for a month I'd be like, this guy doesn't like, it would be what I want to hear, but I'd be like, there's no way that a decade, 10 years. I want everyone to think about this. 10 years. Think about when you were in kindergarten. Now think about when you were a sophomore in high school. That whole time he was working for Trump. That's insane.
Yeah. He was working for Trump and he was doing Trump's dirty work until he got caught. And then when he got caught, he tried to lie his way out. And when he couldn't lie his way out, he got indicted.
And then he turned.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is how it works. This is how they get mob bosses. Like, I don't understand why people are so abhorrent to the idea that this isn't how it's going down. Of course, this is how it's going down. The only way to get Trump is to get someone from his inner circle to flip on him.
Right. And all of everybody in his inner circle is a lying, scheming sleaze. So we know Cohen's a lying, scheming sleaze. Nobody's saying he's this great integrity filled guy. He's a sleaze, but he's doing what underbosses have done for decades, turning on the boss when they go down.
So what was your favorite, what was the most shocking part of the hearing to you? Either one of you. I don't know, Stacey, you watched the highlights or whatever. No, nothing? Okay.
I've seen a couple memes.
Just the memes. I loved when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was grilling Cohen. I thought she was amazingly composed. I thought that she was right on target, asked all the right questions. I mean, this girl's 29 years old. Excuse me, this woman. 29 years old. I don't know what I was doing at 29, but I sure as heck wasn't sitting before a Senate Judiciary Committee interrogating somebody.
I was definitely sitting at a bar. I'm just going to...
I could still be found sitting at a bar now. At 29, forget it. So she basically gets Cohen to admit that Trump committed tax fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And does it so seamlessly.
Yeah.
So smoothly that... I don't know how you can doubt that. I don't know how you can doubt it. But yet people do.
Well, people love to hate AOC. And yeah. I don't, so here's my feeling on AOC. I think she's a little bit too far left for my personal liking. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think she's an important voice to have at the table because she's an activist. And I think the activist wing needs to be heard because it drags the party further to the left on more ideas and more progressive values that I don't think we necessarily need to implement all to the full threshold, but I do like the direction they're kind of pushing them in. What I get mad on her behalf for is, one, like you said, she's 29 years old. This girl, this woman, if you go on Snopes and just put her name in, the amount of fake bullshit that goes around about this poor woman is insane. The amount of times they fake quote her, like the things that they try to get her on that she's never said, she's never even referenced, like they're always trying to blow her up in some way. The other thing too is like when people say they have an issue with her foreign policy beliefs. She's not in Congress to dictate foreign policy. She's there to represent her personal. She's not a Senate member. She's not voting on stuff that takes place in it, anywhere else in the world, except for right where it's happening to her. Like, so yes, she has opinions on healthcare and education and, you know, college and all these things. But what goes on in foreign affairs? I have a little bit of leeway for her because that's not even in her wheelhouse of things that she's expected to do at this point. Secondly, I would like to go back, rewind the clock to like Mitch McConnell, his very first year in Congress, or Paul Ryan, his very first year in Congress, and see how well they did when the camera, if the camera had been on them 24 hours a day. She's not polished. She doesn't speak as well in interviews. When you see her, like when she goes on Rachel Maddow, she stumbles over her words and stuff still. That's okay. She's human. Like to me, that even makes her more relatable because last year at this time, she was a bartender. Like, I think she does a really, really good job. I like her because you can tell that she's actually thinking about what she's saying as it happens. She doesn't have these polished, perfect responses that have been run through a PR machine 15 times to make sure everything is perfect and shiny and wonderful and will appeal to the centrist and to the leftist. And like, she says what she thinks, she means what she says. And even if I don't necessarily agree with her on everything, I can at least appreciate that. I would appreciate it on the right if I thought it was genuine. Like, right. here's the actually the most, not shocking or surprising, but kind of the most like, God, I hate this whole system. You watched the Republicans pretty much like lick Brett Kavanaugh's asshole for 8 hours, just had their face all up in there.
Yeah,
it was everywhere, like beer poops, everything dribbling down their chins. Okay, then they have the audacity to walk into this room where we're talking about the president actually being guilty of fraud and corruption. And they're like, I can't believe the audacity of the Democrats to be sitting here questioning this man. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Like, you are perfectly fine with a man who's accused of sexually assaulting women sitting at a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, but now you're personally offended that people are questioning a lawyer as to whether or not the president is a paid asset of Russia? Like, what are you talking? Like, their righteous indignation is just so fake, and it feels fake, and you can just tell how much they loathe having to do it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but shouldn't every member of Congress, no matter what side they're on, be a little bit concerned if the president of the United States is a Russian asset? Shouldn't everybody want to get to the bottom of that one?
Everyone in the country should be concerned, but there's only like 65% of us that seem to be. The other 35%, like Cohen said in the hearing, he could walk in. He said what the president said was true. He could walk into the middle of Fifth Avenue. You guys can't see this, but Gina is drinking straight from the bottle, which one, I appreciate. I'm like, I don't have to do dishes level. And two, you're just, yeah, you're hardcore, bro. Like, that was.
You know what happened? I started drinking at dinner earlier. And then when I cleaned up, I put my wine glass in the dishwasher.
And then I'm what like, can you do then, this. Right? Like,
taking out another glass. Fuck it, I'll drink right from the bottle.
Yeah, you took a hard ride after dinner, and that was it. Like, there's no going back from that. Once the glass is in the dishwasher.
That kind of week, girl. In that kind of week.
So, I don't know. I find their just abhorrent. I just find them so gross now. I used to be able to identify with some of their beliefs, and you know, I at least got where they were coming from, but they've become part of the cult now too. And it's just sad. It's sad because what if the Democrats go out of power? Who's going to hold the dumb accountable then?
I don't know. I shudder to think.
So what have you seen on social media about it, Stace? Hit me.
Not a lot, just that the Democrats are burying themselves, they look stupid right now type stuff. And I didn't watch any of it because I knew we were going to be talking about it, so I was counting on you for my news.
You're welcome.
So I didn't watch any of it, and so what I saw was a lot of people just saying, wow, the Democrats look so dumb, and like, how are they believing what he's saying? He's already a proven liar. And I was just like, oh man, is it really that bad? Because from what I heard, the little bit of Stacey saying that she enjoyed watching it and she thought it was going well, I was like, it's so crazy that the left and the right can see such different things watching
thing. Here's what I think the difference is. I personally think a lot of people on the left were actually watching it, where I think a lot of people on the right were getting Fox News updates. I don't think they were watching it.
Yeah.
I have found that the majority of the Trump supporters only can regurgitate talking points that is spoon fed to them from Fox News. They don't think for themselves. They wait to be told what to think and then pass that information along. Like, I can get into 8 different political arguments with people on Facebook that are on the right, and they're all going to tell me the same 4 talking points. Super simple, short sentences, no more than like 6 words. Like, they're just going to do it over and over and over again. And I'm like, do you talk to yourselves? Like, do you hear that you're just regurgitating information? It's real fucking annoying. So, anybody else have anything to add about the Cohen hearings?
Nope. I relied on you to fill me in.
Funny meme.
Okay.
Funny meme. There's a meme that says, picture Trump, I only hire the best people. And then someone in the press is saying, then why do you call all the people that leave your administration low life, ignorant, stupid people?
Nice. Yeah.
I did think it was funny how he called out Trump for calling his Don Trump Jr. for having like the worst comment. What did he say? The worst common sense or the worst decision making abilities of anyone he's ever met in his life. Like it was super funny.
Wow. The internet is ripe today.
Ugh. All right. Speaking of the internet being ripe, what is this Momo controversy?
Have you seen how like it exploded in the last like 2 days? Everybody's talking about the Momo challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it started a year ago, and the actual picture is like this bird looking lady that was created. It's a sculpture that was created by a Japanese artist. So somebody thought it was creepy and turned it into the Momo thing. And what it is the legend says that if you call this number or you text this number from your phone or the WhatsApp app, which is just a texting app that kids get, if you text this number, Momo will answer you, and Momo will tell you to hurt yourself or tell you you're going to die or whatever. And so it turned into this thing. It kind of joined together with, there are some YouTube videos where people have spliced, you know, things like you could be watching SpongeBob and you just think it's a SpongeBob episode and somebody splices in SpongeBob like murdering Patrick, and then it just goes back to the SpongeBob episode. And
why do people do kind that? Of,
you know, I don't know, just to be dicks. So, you know, you report it to YouTube and they take it down right away. They apologize. They ban that person. It wasn't that big. It was just a couple videos that, you know, like people were talking about. Somebody spliced together that it's now in the middle of these kids' videos, Momo comes on and tells you, go pour bleach in your mom's coffee. Don't tell her, you know? And it was all like, I mean, just the last 2 days, everybody's saying it. There's police departments posting warnings. There's schools posting warnings. There's parents posting warnings. Like, one of the Kardashians posted it. I mean, it's just like overly shared, like wildfire. And then today or yesterday, it comes out, it was all a hoax. YouTube has not had any videos turned into them that have said that have had Momo in the middle of these cartoons. None of the suicides that, like, because I guess Momo, if you call it at 3 a.m., will tell you to commit suicide. None of the suicides of teenagers in the last year have been linked to Momo. And I mean, like, all these facts came pouring in, and it was like, it's a complete hoax. But it was so overly shared that it was this great example of how fake news spreads like wildfire. And, you know, the fear-mongering is what it is. It's kind of like the there's drugs in your kid's Halloween candy thing that went around.
People don't share drugs.
Every year that goes around, and it's all these warnings for all these moms and all the parenting groups and the schools and whatever. And it's not, there have never been cases of it. It's just fear mongering. And I mean, like, the internet went crazy over the Momo challenge, and it was all fake.
Well, the crazy thing too is you actually give it validity by oversharing it. Now you're making her real or whatever, because right. You've brought her to life, and now kids are going to start acting scared because they're hearing their parents warn them about this Momo thing, and then they're going to start saying they see it because kids like attention, exactly, and they never actually saw it.
Yep.
It's like the Salem witch trials.
The 3 a.m. thing, they traced the phone numbers back. One of the numbers was from Brazil, one was from Japan, and one was from Mexico, I think. And what it was people were spreading that phone number out saying, call this at 3 a.m. and we'll text you back and it'll be Momo. And they were stealing the information off of your phone, you know, and you're getting long distance charges. And it was just, it was hackers, you know? And so that shut down real fast. And then it went to the YouTube stuff where people said that she was popping up in videos and telling kids to do horrible things. And it was all totally fake. I know.
Fear-mongering is a very powerful tool. We've seen it in many different areas.
It's like when you tell people over and over again that immigrants are going to rape and murder them.
Yep. Now we hate all immigrants because of that, right?
Right. But like you said, it created this whole thing where my kids came home from school and I'm like, hey, have you heard of this? And they're like, yeah, everybody on the bus is talking about it. Everybody in English class was talking about it. And kids are trying to find it. So now they're seeking it out to try to show each other, to scare each other and say, oh yeah, I've seen it. You know, it happened to me, you know? And so now they're all seeking it out to, you know, and hackers are making more Momo challenges to like, try to make it look real. You know, it's crazy. We breathe life into these fake things. We make them real.
Y'all need Jesus. Yeah. I kid. What about that Peppa Pig thing though, where like Peppa Pig is supposedly like murdering things and stuff? Is that true?
I don't know if that was a photoshopped screenshot or if it actually went around YouTube, but it was what, like I was saying about the SpongeBob thing. There was a handful. There was like Peppa Pig, SpongeBob, and a Mickey Mouse one, I think it was, where it just pops up on, you know, YouTube Kids, where it looks like you're just going to watch an episode, and in the middle, somebody splices something crazy in, and that's what it was with the Peppa Pig thing, is Peppa Pig comes into the kitchen, and her mom's head is, like, on the table, so she freaks out and, like, stabs her dad, and then it just goes right back to, like, the Peppa Pig episode.
Why do people torment children that way? Like, who gets enjoyment out of, like, splicing something like that together just to scare the shit out of, like, what, four-year-olds?
Yeah, I don't know. Ugh. I don't know. And then they get caught and they have to make a new YouTube account and it's a whole thing. Like, why bother? Like, so get out of it. What is your motive here?
They should really invest a lot of time and energy into this.
For nothing.
I'd have lost interest after the first time I was shut down.
Yeah, it's kind of like the people that supposedly put drugs in Halloween candy. What enjoyment are you getting sitting at home going, maybe a kid will get high? You're not there to see it. You know, like, it's not, what is the motive here?
Like Jackie said, nobody's giving away their drugs. No.
That shit's expensive and it's hard to find. Sure. Yeah.
No.
Well, we actually did that episode near Halloween where you went through all the myths, like the razor blades and candy and yada, yada, yada. No one's sharing their drugs.
No way.
All right. Here's our next topic. Is everyone shipping Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper? Okay. I saw A Star Is Born. It's a fantastic movie. It is. They have a shit ton of chemistry together, but I don't know why everyone is like, I wish they would just hook up. Bradley Cooper has a wife who he has a kid with, or not a wife, a girlfriend that he has a kid with. They seem very happy together. Why is everyone like, oh, he needs to just leave her and get with God? Why? I didn't
realize that they were in that movie. I haven't seen that movie yet.
It's really good.
I just thought that they just did the duet together just randomly on the Oscars. And I was like, I watched it and because everybody's talking about how it's life changing, how they're so obviously in love in this one like 3-minute duet. And I'm like, well, I got to see this. So I watched it and I was like waiting for something to happen. And I'm going, I don't see it. It's just two people doing a duet. So I didn't realize they were in that movie, and that's why people say they have chemistry. That makes so much more sense.
Well, they do, but I've seen Bradley Cooper in a lot of movies, and he seems to have a lot of chemistry with all of his co-stars. Like,
he's just a good actor?
Yeah, he seemed the same way with Jennifer Lawrence, and for a while everyone was wondering if they were hooking up too, because he did like two or three movies back-to-back with her. Like, I just don't understand why there's this whole swath of people rooting for a man to leave his girlfriend and child that he's been with for like 5 or 6 years to be with Lady Gaga. Straight people, y'all are weird. Okay. Like you crucified, you know, Brad Pitt for leaving Jennifer Aniston after cheating on, you know,
with Angelina.
Yeah. With Angelina. Like, it's not like cheating is an acceptable behavior in our society where we're like cheering people on. Like we berate the president.
For the president of the United States.
Right.
Then he gets to do it.
Why are all these people hoping that they break up this family? Like, I just don't understand it. Just enjoy it for what it is. It's a good song. They're two talented people who do really good work together.
Isn't she not single either?
No, her and her fiance broke up.
Maybe that's why.
I don't think it's any coincidence that they do this. They do this duet and have this explosive sexual chemistry. And now, A Star Is Born is going to be re-released in the theaters.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. And even Gaga said herself, that's exactly what we wanted you all to think.
Yeah, that video from the Oscar has been watched like 2 million times or something like that. Right. Like, right. Yeah, it's good for business.
People are going to run back to the movie theater, all the people who didn't see the movie, and maybe some people who did. They're all going to run back to the theater now when it's re-released and kind of suck up that vicarious sexual chemistry that we all wish we had in our lives.
You know, and maybe that's what it is.
Sound bitter as fuck.
I think people just want to believe it. You know, it's like when everybody shipped Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet on Titanic, everybody was like, oh, they're totally dating and they should totally get married. And everybody was like all crazy about it. And they were like, no, thank you. We're friends. You know, I think people that's what we do. I think people just want it to be real.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here's the thing though. A Star Is Born. I think it's a great movie. I thought it was a great movie. One, I mean, I've always liked Lady Gaga, but she's a phenomenal actress. Like, she really is. She's way more talented than I ever thought she was. Like, I had seen her in American Horror Story, but it has nothing on her performance in this movie, legitimately. But this movie also focuses on codependency, addiction, depression. Like, it has a tragic ending, like an absolutely tragic one. Those are all the key points that I wish people were more concerned about than whether or not they're sleeping together when the cameras go off. Like, this movie has a super powerful message about what can happen when you're two decent people, but you're toxic for each other. Like, it's a really, really good film that not necessarily toxic for each other, but no matter how much you love someone, you can't save them. Like, that's the message of this movie. You cannot pull them out of there. You can't fix anybody who doesn't want to be fixed. Right. And it's just so crazy to me. I'm like, y'all bitches even watch the movie? Like, this is not how it went down. Like, I don't know.
Joker whatever. And Harley Quinn. Everybody wants
There's some two dysfunctional motherfuckers too.
Right? Everybody wants that relationship. Oh, Joker and Harley Quinn. It's so cute and romantic. No, he tries to kill her like a few times.
It's not cute. Their codependency runs so high. They would rather see each other dead than with someone else. Like, that's not cute. I mean, I guess you're right, Jean. I guess people are really missing some passion in their lives because they're like, I want someone to want to murder for me. You're like, no, the bitch, then they're in jail. That's not how the real world works.
We're not 14 anymore.
For the 2 days before the popo catch up with them, that's a lot of passion.
Right.
Then you're visiting them every Saturday.
Constable visits. That adds a whole new level of passion.
That's, Jesus. All right. Who wants to play a game?
Me.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I can't play because I obviously have the answers. But I will keep score.
Not good.
But I'm going to keep score. Stacy, Jean. Okay.
Remember, Stacy, I'm drinking out of the bottle, so I think you've got an advantage here.
All right. We'll do first person to 10 will win. The loser has to tell on the podcast something that nobody knows about them. Don't count me, Stace. I can know it about you because I've known you a long time. Okay. So here's how it works. I'm going to read you two quotes. You have to guess the one that is Trump.
Okay.
So here's the first one. If you have to
Are we taking turns or are we like shouting out our answer? Because we could just agree every time.
Okay. We're going to take turns. Stace, you go first. Okay.
Okay.
If you have money, having children is great. Here's a second quote. Don't stay in bed unless you can make money in bed. Which one was Trump?
the second one.
Nope. All right, so should Jean get a point because you got it wrong? Okay, yeah. Jean gets a point. All right. All right, here's the first quote, Jean. And honestly, if somebody wants to criticize me for not being a train wreck, that's fine with me. Here's the second one. Those who criticize me are only losers and envy people.
Second one.
It was the second one. The first one was Taylor Swift.
Aw.
Okay.
Loves calling people losers. That's how I know.
Yep. All right. Stacey, here's the first quote. What this country needs is more unemployed politicians. Here's the second quote. If you can't get rich dealing with politicians, there's something wrong with you.
Second.
It was the second. Okay. Here's the first one. I love provoking people. There is truth to that. Here's the second one. A lie told often enough becomes the truth.
Ooh, well, I mean, I'm going to have to go with the second one.
Nope. That was Vladimir Lenin. The first one, Trump said, I love provoking people. There is truth to that. So Stacey gets a point.
I feel like the second one would totally be something he would say.
Well, yeah, totally.
I think that's the point.
Right.
That they're putting these crazy people in here that you're like, oh my God, which one was it? All right.
Yeah.
Nobody likes being around poor people, especially poor people. Here's the second one. I love all people, rich or poor, but in those particular postings, I just don't want a poor person.
I want to say the second one because he sounds like a jerk, but I'm going to say the first one.
Nope, it was the second. He said, oh, wow. I love all people, rich or poor, but in those particular postings, I just don't want a poor person.
Wow.
Okay.
I think Leanne Elmsley said the first one.
It was Steve Wynn.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's the first one. Who the hell wants to speak about... Well, this one's easy. I'm going to skip it. All right, first one. Nothing says holidays like a cheese log. Here's the second one. You'll be saying Merry... This one's too easy, too. All right, saw him at a cocktail party, and it was very sad because all the hottest people in New York were at this party. Here's the second one. There are a lot of good women in New York.
Second one.
Nope, that was Drake. Trump said, saw him at a cocktail party, and it was very sad because all the hottest people are in New York and this party.
Wow. I'm just going to start picking the most douchebaggery one.
You should pick the most douchebaggery one, and it is absolutely Trump. Okay.
Good strategy.
All right, I've been fired 5 times for having a bad attitude, or get that son of a bitch off the field right now.
The second
one. That's too easy.
All right, we'll try a new one. That one's too easy, too. Okay, I think we have a very divided country because of that and so many other things. Or, we're at a point in history where everyone needs to pay attention to politics. Too much is at stake for us to be apathetic.
Ooh, man. Say them again.
I think we have a very divided country because of that and so many other things. Or we're at a point in history where everyone needs to pay attention to politics. Too much is at stake for us to be apathetic.
Oh, man. That's a hard one. The second one.
Nope, that was Kevin Costner. Trump doesn't know words like apathetic.
I know, right?
I have to say that that is absolutely the giveaway.
But I feel like he doesn't say that we're divided.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also does say words I'm sure he doesn't know the meaning to. So there's that too.
Yeah. Cafefe.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's too easy. My greatest assets have been mental stability and being very smart. That one's too easy. All right. Pigs are not that dirty and they're smart, strange little creatures. Or... We also have to come up with a punishment that's far quicker and far greater than the punishment these animals are getting right now.
Second one.
Yep.
Because he's probably talking about immigrants, right?
Yeah.
He calls them animals.
Wow.
Some of these are just too easy. Okay. I don't think people realize how life-altering running for president is. Or... I thought being president would be easier than my old... That's too easy. Eventually, we're going to get something done, and it's going to be really, really good. Or, without money, nothing gets done.
The first one.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Huge. Huge.
Huge. Bigly. Bigly.
I voted for the second one, because everything is about money with him.
That was Mary Lasker.
Okay.
Golf is deceptively simple and endlessly complicated. Or, it's always good to do things nice and complicated so that nobody can figure it out.
Second one.
Yep.
Because he thinks he's so smart.
Yeah, he thinks he's playing chess.
And he would not be that fluent, right? Like the first quote.
We're catching on. We're doing better.
All right. I am no stranger to working hard. I have done it all my life. As a result, I have become accustomed to expecting success in everything I do. Some people call me lucky, but I know better. Or, I believe in luck. How else can you explain the success of those you dislike?
That's a hard one. I feel like the first one is like way too long for him. He has to keep it short and simple. But I feel like it's still something he would say. Ah, the first one.
Yep. Woo. All right. I've never been the kind of guy who takes his son out to play catch, but I think I'm a good father. Or, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it.
I think the first one.
It was the first one.
I like the second one a little bit.
Because I don't think he does anything with his kids.
No.
Really? No. He knows how to relate to them.
Okay. Winning takes precedence over all. There's no gray area. No almost. Or, I do whine because I want to win. And I'm not happy when I'm not winning. Hold on. I do whine because I want to win. And I'm not happy about not winning. And I am a whiner. And I keep whining and whining until I win.
I mean, that's so much worse. So I want to say the second one. Yep, but the first one is something you would say too. Oh, second one. It's the more douchebaggery of the two.
Who says that?
Yeah, that's all right. Bad.
The final key to the way I promote is bravado. I play to people's fantasies. Or, men project their fantasies onto me. They live them through who they think I am.
Oh, that's so douchebaggish. It's got to be the second one.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It is douchebaggish because it was Hugh Hefner. The first one was the final key to the way I promote is bravado. I play to people's fantasies.
Well, that's douchebaggy.
All right, here's the final one. I'm not the smartest fellow in the world, but I can sure pick smart colleagues. No, that's too easy.
He wouldn't say that about himself.
It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Okay. I don't like the concept of divorce, but sometimes it becomes necessary. Or, you know why divorce is so expensive? Because they're worth it.
The second one.
No, that was Willie Nelson.
Wow.
What? All right. So, Jean wins.
Yes.
Because you guys were tied. All right, Stacy. Tell us something that we don't know about you. Remember, your mom listens.
Man. Oh, man. Man, I should have been planning this the whole time.
Some of those are hard, though.
Yeah, some of those were really hard. I read in a beauty magazine once that this famous actress shaves her face like a man, and so I tried it because she said it made her look so much younger. So I tried it, and now I do it like once a month because it totally exfoliates your skin and it like makes your makeup lay flatter. So yeah, nobody knows that.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know.
I feel like I don't know you at all now.
Yep.
God, I'm feeling okay. Stacy, what are you watching this week?
Oh, let me tell you. Okay. So every once in a while I go down the YouTube hole and start clicking on stuff. And I went down the glory hole
of YouTube.
The YouTube hole. The dark hole. The glory hole. And I found this guy.
I think you just named the episode.
I don't doubt the glory hole.
Stacy dives into the glory hole.
So there's this guy who quit his job to run an antique and thrift shop. And he buys storage units. He goes picking, like if you've ever seen American Pickers, you know, he goes to old farms, whatever. So he buys a hoarder house. And he goes inside and he originally goes inside and meets with the family and says, I just want to pick some stuff out. And he's so enthralled by what he sees and what he's finding that he says, I'll give you $20,000 for the whole house and all of its contents. And they agree. So he documents this, and there's been 7 so far episodes. I mean, it watches like you're watching an amazing TV show. They're about 40 minutes long. And he starts from where he can't even walk through the front door because it's so gross, to he's got it down to studs and he's refinishing the entire house. It turns out this house, and he knew going in, but you don't know until later. It's Mary Stromberg's house. I don't know if you know who that is, but she's a famous artist and potter in Canada. She's 104 years old. Her kids are old too. You know, they didn't want to take care of the house once she became a hoarder. So they just said, like, let's contact this guy and call him in and see what happens. And of course, he's totally like enthralled. So he doesn't let you know that it's her house, but he said he finds some of her pottery and he's getting it appraised and he's doing whatever. And they're worth thousands of dollars. And he's like finding more and more. So then he ends up saying who it is and he interviews her and talks to her about like her life. And it is so good. And this guy is so charismatic. I mean, he needs his own TV show, but he like, you know what hoarder house? You've seen Hoarders, right?
Yeah.
The TV show makes you want to go clean your kitchen right away.
Yeah.
He walks in and there's like grocery bags with like one shoe and, you know, like a newspaper and whatever. And he finds a wallet with like $1,500 in it. And then he's going through another grocery bag that's, you know, stuffed in a corner. And he finds one of the first Versace purses. I mean, he's like finding treasure all over the place because this lady has lived in this house for 100 years. She hasn't even been in some rooms for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because wow. She's blocked them off.
I have several questions, but the most prominent one that comes to my head is a famous potter. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, you could become a famous pottery person.
Yeah, she was invited to, I don't remember what it was, something, I'll have to post it because I don't remember. She was invited to something and it's kind of what turned her career around. But she used clay from Indians and...
Like India or Native Americans?
Native American.
Okay.
And that was a big draw to her and she was self-taught. So she started to, you know, she was interested in it. And she took like one pottery class and she just had this eye for it. And so she, everything she did was just out of her brain, you know.
You have to post this link, Stacey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the guy's channel is called Curiosity Inc. on YouTube. Because I subscribed immediately and watched every single episode because I was like, what? And they're so good. And then he finds like bottles of liquor in this lady's house. And he jokes that like, you know, you get 10 feet, you clear out all these bags in this trash. The second day he had like 7 tons of trash because he was keeping track of going to the dump. Yeah. So he's finding bottles of alcohol, you know, every 10 or 20 feet, you know, once a day. And so he would set them aside if they were, you know, still corked or still screw cap, set them aside. And then on his like last day, they do a tasting. So he lays out all the bottles and they taste each one and open them and drink them. Yeah. He's so funny. I mean, it's like a really, really good TV show. It's so good. Highly recommend.
TLC needs to pick up this guy.
Yeah. The garbage they put on, you think they could make a little room in their schedule for this.
I know. Right.
I wonder if she like watched the movie Ghost and was like, I could probably do that.
Maybe.
Yeah. I've never tried pottery, but it looks hard.
104 years old. She's still alive. So her family, just, she had to move into assisted living. She's in a wheelchair. And they saw, you know, the house falling around her, you know, and so they put her in assisted living and she didn't care and they didn't care. $20,000. He got the whole house and all its contents.
What's he going to do with it?
He's renovating it.
I know. Is he going to sell it or is he going to live in it?
I have no idea. He hasn't said.
Oh. Well, you're going to have to keep us updated.
Episode 7.
Stay tuned.
What do you watch this week, Jean?
The Blacklist. I'm that's what I watch and that's what I'm obsessed with. I cannot believe how season after season this show continues to be fresh and engaging and plot twists galore.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh. Me neither.
Oh my god, I can't believe
what's it on?
It's on NBC. It's on Friday nights. The NBC keeps moving it around,
mm-hmm.
because it's like an anchor show, so they keep moving it around, like when they want to bump up the viewership of newer shows. So right now it's on Friday night, but it's James Spader. You guys are probably too young to remember him from the 80s. He always played like this dickish teenage villain in like all the Molly Ringwald movies. But now he plays this international man of mystery who's working with the FBI, and it's so, so involved with so many layers to it. And every season it just takes this other like wild turn. And I haven't missed an episode since it began 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, you have my interest. Yeah. I am not watching it yet, but I saw the preview for it because all I really watched this week was the Cohen hearings. Like, I haven't watched a lot of TV this week. But The Good Fight is coming back to TV. The new season is starting in March. And for anyone who watched The Good Wife, okay, it's a spinoff from it, but it's actually a spinoff that's super legit. It's so well written and so funny, like I can't, and so dramatic, like it's just, it's really, really good. So I actually, Juliana Margulies, who was the star of The Good Wife, I'm not a real big fan of hers, but it has all the other characters that were on it that were awesome. So, it's really good. Like, they hire the firm to represent the DNC and they think they got a hold of the P tapes, and like, it's just, it's really good. So I'm super excited for it to come back on in March. So, all right. What are we obsessed with this week?
Obviously I said it last week, but Umbrella Academy, we finished it. I'm super sad. My kids are obsessed. I will not spoil it. Have you not finished it? I thought you did.
I haven't finished it. Sick kid, teething, like the whole thing.
Oh, okay. My kids were totally obsessed. So my oldest now plays the music from it all the time. It has really good music. She had me do a henna tattoo of the umbrella in the circle where they got their tattoos on her wrist.
I was reading a thing that they actually got access to a lot more music because the graphic novel was written by the guy from Chemical Romance. So
I told you that.
Yeah. Well, I saw it on a news article too, but they got access to a ton more music than is normally allowed on TV because of that. So yeah, they have amazing music on this TV show.
So I mean, we really binge watched the last three episodes in one night, and now we're all totally sad because we want more. And so we're trying to find something to replace it real quick because we're all going through Umbrella Academy withdrawal because it was just that good. So good.
You have to give it a few episodes. I feel like you're not really attached to it till like episode 3, but it's a really good show.
Yeah.
I agree. What are you obsessed with, Jean?
Well, I don't do this show weekly with you guys, but last week I'm totally obsessed with this whole Golden State Killer thing. I don't know if you guys are following on HLN. I am totally obsessed with how they, through the genetic testing, those 23andMe things, they have found this horrendous rapist and killer that was for like 10 years terrorizing all of California. And 40 years later, they caught the guy because of one of those like 23andMe things. And I just, like last weekend, I just watched the two most recent episodes that talk about how they caught him because of, and they explained how they used the genetic testing to match up with the DNA that he left 40 years ago.
That's crazy.
He left DNA 40 years ago. And then now they're still able to use it through all these genetic testing websites. And I'm just totally obsessed with it. I can't wait. I hope there's another episode.
What I'm always enthralled with, or kind of not enthralled, but impressed with, was the forethought of police officers back then, before DNA was even a thing, to think to preserve and save that yes. kind of stuff on the off yes. chance that we were ever able to yeah. genetically, and not even just from like the 80s, because they were just starting to like kind of dip their toes into the whole idea of it. But I'm like, from the Boston Stranglers, like just from really, yeah. really far back in the day, like I'm always just kind of impressed with the wherewithal of some of these police detectives to be like, who knows what they'll come up with someday. We should save this bloody cloth or this toenail. Like, it's just, it's yeah, incredible to
crazy.
Me. Yeah.
they were like hoarders in a way.
yeah.
That they just collected every single thing that they found at a crime scene. And you're right. It's absolutely amazing that the technology was not even conceived yet, but they knew enough to save even the tiniest little scrap of garbage yeah. that was at the scene, because who knows, maybe someday. So yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I agree.
Well, I wonder too, how much of it was what if someday, or because they didn't have the technology, everything they found was just that important, because who knows what would show up later that they would be able to use to piece it together, because they didn't have, yeah. you know, DNA testing or, you know, the blacklight testing or anything like they couldn't scan. Like, it's just, they had to actually put clues together and try to piece these murders together. Whenever I hear, because I listen to My Favorite Murder, and whenever they go back to like the 1800s and they're like, and the police detectives found, so I'm like, the fact that they could do that in the 1800s is just mind-boggling to me. I feel like yeah. if you're in the 1800s and you're a cop, you'd be like, well, what are we going to do? You know, like, shit, they got away. Like, that's it. That's a wrap, guys. You know, clean this up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Saw him stabbing them to death. Yeah.
We're going to have to wait till the next one. You know, like, I'm always impressed that back then where they really had, you know, the gusto to hunt down the killer. Although I'm sure many, many people were wrongfully imprisoned, but that's my guilt in me, my white guilt coming through.
I'm curious though what 23andMe is gonna pull out of the woodwork as far as crimes, but also reuniting families that didn't know that they had family, you know, like I feel like it's such a like open door to so many things that we're gonna see.
I did 23andMe, and I can't even tell you my level of disappointment to find out I was exactly what I thought I was. Even more of what I thought I was. Like,
well, I think that's a good thing. Don't you have like an Irish tattoo?
Yeah.
To find out you're not Irish would be real.
I'm not just Irish though. I'm 88% Irish. Like, it's not even like I'm like, oh, cool. You know, 35%. I've crossed at like 1/3 threshold. Like, I'm like Irish. Like, I'm pretty sure if I went back to Ireland and I like learned the dialect, I could slip right in easily, because I'm pretty much a vampire. As soon as the sun comes out, I burn. You know, drinking's a sport. Like, I have all these things that I could just slip right back into the culture without missing a beat. So, you know, there's a famous quote that said, if it wasn't for alcohol, Irish would rule the world. And I firmly believe that. So, yeah, I did find one interesting thing in the 23andMe thing. I have 934 markers for Neanderthal. So my line actually traces back to the very first lineage, which wow. is crazy. Wow. Yeah. 934, which only like 3% of people have that many. But wow. my second toe is longer than my first. And I think that's why I have a little monkey in me. Yeah.
Sort of, you are genetically superior because you have that second long toe.
Superior, inferior, it's a thin line. We don't know. It's hard to say. I started reading, or actually listening, The listeners know I spend 3 hours in the car a day. So I listen to a lot of books, a lot of podcasts, a lot of news. I started listening to Becoming by Michelle Obama today. So I'm only about an hour and a half in, but it is fantastic. I've always been a fan of Michelle Obama. I don't think she gets enough credit for her accomplishments. I think she's often overshadowed by the prestige of her husband, which I'm not saying is unwarranted. You know, he's a amazing individual, but the things that she has accomplished in her life are just as impressive. And I'm really enjoying, I wish this book would have come out while they were still in office. Because I think her outlook on the world, the things that she's gone through, the closeness that she has with her family. Like I wish she had written this and made her more human to other people when she was still the first lady. So I'm really enjoying it. It's good stuff. She's an excellent writer. So I'll let you know when I finish it, but I'm excited to, I'm actually looking forward to getting in the car tomorrow and continuing my journey with Michelle.
That one's on my summer reading list.
It's super good so far. It's really, really good. It's everything you would hope. I'm always kind of, especially people that I admire, I'm always kind of hesitant to like read their autobiographies because I'm like, I don't necessarily want to know everything about them. Like I like seeking the information I want to know about them. And, you know, I think it's important to hear kind of their story in their own words. And sometimes I'm disappointed with the outcome. Like I read Hillary Clinton's What Happened. And it actually changed my opinion of her in a good way. I never didn't necessarily have a negative opinion about her, but I thought a lot of things about her that it turned out weren't true. Once you hear them in her own words and kind of her own perception, her side of the story, I guess, that hasn't been filtered through the PR machines. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I felt that way about Hillary. And I was kind of like about her. So let's see this one. I already like the person. And yeah, it's super good. So 3 chapters in and I'm recommending it. I'll take it back later if it's not good. My wine's great. I knew it would be great. I will buy it again because I've probably bought over 100 bottles of this wine.
I like mine. I never had this one before, but like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a big red blend whore, and it's a winner. It's a winner.
Red blend makes you a whore, or you enjoy several types of red blends?
You know, it depends. I could definitely say I enjoy all the red blends, but, you know, maybe a little of both.
Whoever left this at my house, thank you, because it's fantastic, and I would totally buy it again.
Let me know who it is. I want to invite them to my house.
Are you sure it's not one of Stacy's bottles?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. So we will be back next week. We're actually going to be recording late. We'll be recording on Sunday. So the episode will air Monday. But we will have Georgia Beers on with us discussing her newest release. So have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll be in your ears next week. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.